If you have your Bibles, turn with me, please, over to 1 Thessalonians 4 and follow along as I read at verse 13. 1 Thessalonians 4 and 13. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brethren, about those who are asleep, so that you will not grieve as do the rest who have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again. Even so, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Let's pray together. Father, quiet our hearts here in this place, so that as we have read what you have to say to us, perhaps with just a little bit of clarification, we will open our hearts up to what you want us to know, to encourage those who need to be encouraged, to challenge those who need to be challenged, and in the process, bring honor and glory to you and to you alone. Take your word, your servant, and teach us, please. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, you may remember, Paul is writing this letter from Corinth. Timothy spent some extra time in Thessalonica and came back or joined up again with the missions team there in Corinth. And I suspect that Timothy had a lot to encourage the Apostle Paul with, but I suspect that he had some questions, some concerns. Timothy, when you see Paul again, ask him about this or about that. And when we look at the letter as a whole, there seems to be this under it. That while the gospel, Jesus, the very Son of God, Son of Mary, died for our sins, for the sins of the whole world, died for our sins and was buried, raised the third day, and then, after 40 days of encouraging his disciples and others, demonstrating that he is in fact alive, was ascended unto the Father and is coming again. And every generation since then, including that one, believed Jesus was going to be coming while they were alive. And Paul helps us a great deal here, because when we think in terms of Jesus coming and what we're anticipating, there are two events. There is what the church is looking forward to, and we're going to study this morning, but then there is what the world will see, and that is when Jesus comes and literally takes up residence here upon earth. Two different events. But as believers there in Thessalonica, living godly lives, as Timothy testifies, there must have been some who were tempted to think, well, if Jesus is coming and coming soon, why invest in here and now? Why worry about working? Why worry about paying my bills? all of those things. And that may be some of what's behind Paul reminding them that they needed to be good citizens. They needed to reflect their faith in all they do. And yes, look forward to the return of Jesus, but until then, live lives of consistent witness. And perhaps in the midst of all of that, there was this question. Well, if all of us who are alive and remain, who are right here, are looking forward to Jesus coming and taking the church away, we're looking forward to that, what about our friends who have died? Now remember, as this is written, we're talking about first century, first generation of believers. Some of them hadn't anticipated that people would die before Jesus came back. What about them? What's gonna happen? And so Paul says, we don't want you to be uninformed, brethren, about those who are asleep. First century Greek way of referring to death. We do it too. He passed away. You know, we have all sorts of different ways of referring to the fact that he died. And this was one of the euphemisms that they used at the time. Well, he's asleep. And you have to look at the context to know what they mean. What about those who have died? Well, we don't want you to be uninformed so that you will not grieve as do the rest who have no hope. Now, do you remember what that word hope means? It's not like we use it in English most of the time. Well, I hope so. There's a little doubt, not sure, I hope so. Great way to use the English word. But here, almost always, there is included the idea of anticipation. We don't want you to grieve as those who grieve who have nothing to anticipate, nothing to look forward to. Those who have believed the lie that death is death, death is the end, it's all there is, you finished, you are no more. We don't want you to grieve like those who have no future, who think there is nothing more to come, that death is the end of the story. And in fact, when we talk about this story, there are two groups of believers. First, verse 14, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. Those who believe that Jesus died and rose again, those who believe that Jesus has overcome the grave, that he lives, the fact that that happened, the fact that he lives is proof that we will live. And if you believe that, if you believe that Jesus is alive and well, seated at the right hand of the Father, if you believe that, it's key to your salvation. So whether you are sitting here this morning, or you have been lovingly laid aside, that's the answer to the question, who is Jesus? Savior and Lord. He lives. That's the answer. So, there are those whom we love, whom God loved, who loved Jesus, who've gone on before us. They've fallen asleep in Jesus. They've died. And so there's this whole group now. generations, centuries of believers who have died. They are not asleep. Don't trip over that English translation here. Grandma's not sleeping somewhere. She's dead. Her body is laid aside. What is her, what will live for eternity, was absent from the body and present with the Lord. She's in the presence of Jesus. She's alive and well, just like he is, because he is. So there's that group, already with Jesus. But then there's also, verse 15, for this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will not precede those who have fallen asleep. We don't get to go first. If we are that last generation of believers, if Jesus comes today and we're that last generation of believers, we don't get to go first. Remember what the question is all about. What about my loved ones who've died? Did they miss the resurrection? Did they miss getting to see Jesus? The answer? Well, both. Those of us who are alive and remain, and those who have fallen asleep in Jesus, are looking forward to one great event. Verse 16, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. They get to go first. They went first. To add a little bit and understand that, right? At some point, God the Father will say to God the Son, go get your church. Now I say that because Jesus said when he was here, when he was asked about when all of this was going to start, he said, I don't even know. Does he know now? A lot of people think he does. That what he was suggesting was his ignorance of that was just a part of the fact that he was human right then. And as a part of that limitation, he limited some things knowing. And he said, I don't even know when the Father has this designed. I don't know. But perhaps even Jesus is waiting for the Father to say, go get your church. And Jesus says, okay. And he turns to the archangel, who turns to the guy with a really big trumpet. And all of a sudden, all of those who've gone to sleep in Jesus, who have died, all of a sudden, all of those will have a body raised. Now, they're still alive and well in heaven. They're going to come down with Jesus. But in that same moment, a body's going to pop up. A body's going to materialize. A body designed to last forever. No limitations, no pain, no disease, no sin. A body designed to last for an eternity. And that spirit that has been with Jesus will be united with that body that's designed now to last forever. And once that's taken place, he says in verse 17, then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we shall be with the Lord. And he says elsewhere, that we too will be changed. We will not, he refers to this process here, and he says, we're not all going to die, but we will all need to be changed. You are in a body that is not designed to last for eternity. The one you're in right now, if Jesus comes this afternoon, needs a change. And you'll get it. And that'll be a part of that process of joining Jesus and those who've gone before us. I've been in cemeteries and wondered what it would be like. I wonder if we would be able to see that. Oh, not every grave will open, but many will. People popping up. And we get to watch that and know that we're right behind them. And then we will always be with the Lord. And Paul says, think on that and comfort one another with these words. Think of that. Those who've died, you miss them. You miss Grandpa. You miss Grandma. You miss Mom, Dad. But they, if they have died in Christ, you will see them again. You may join them before Jesus returns. But either way, one day we will all be together. Nobody's missing anything if they are in Christ. Now, I would be remiss if I didn't flip this coin over. I know you. I know your testimonies. But it's important for me to say. In 2 Thessalonians, Paul will write to the church, knowing that in the church, from time to time, there will be believers and there will be unbelievers. And he says this: if you have been so blessed to have heard the gospel now and refuse the opportunity to recognize Jesus as Savior and as Lord, put it off. Do it another time. There'll be other opportunities. If you persist in that, thinking, as some have written and some have dramatized, if this rapture happens, well, then I'll know all of this that Mom and Dad and Grandpa and Grandma and the preacher said was true. Then I'll know it's true, and then I'll accept Jesus as my Savior. Paul says in 2 Thessalonians, God will send upon that generation a delusion to believe a lie. If you have heard the gospel and have had an opportunity to respond to it now, the rapture will not be a wide opening or eye-opening opportunity to suddenly come to the truth. The deceiver and his deception will be so great that even those people will believe a lie. So as the Old Testament prophet said, today is the day of salvation. Today is the day you must make absolutely sure. We are not looking for anything else to happen. There's nothing we have to check off before we can say, okay, Jesus could come now. That has always been imminent. That has always been possible. There is nothing left to happen. We can look in our newspapers, we can look on the world stage, and we can see things that suggest to us things are getting bad. Surely they can't get any worse. But the simple truth is, Jesus can come at any time. Nothing has to happen. Nothing else has to fall into place. That's why we can say with certainty, he could come today. I don't know if I've told you or not, but when we were truly in the midst of this current situation with the virus and the fires and the unrest, someone said, "Oh, do you suppose this could be the end?" And I said, "I hope so. I hope Jesus is coming. In fact, I anticipate that he will come. Today, tomorrow, I don't know. I just know that we don't need any more fires or hurricanes or social unrest or diseases. No, it doesn't have to get any worse. He can come anytime." Now, you have to be probably at least 60 years old, maybe a little bit older. But when I was in high school, finished high school, starting college, I had a group of friends that regularly we'd get together and we'd pray for one another. And when we'd leave, we'd say, "We'll see ya." Here, there, or in the air. And what's truly interesting about this is we had a Baptist, a Methodist, a Lutheran, and we'd get together and we'd study all of these things, but when it was all over with, we disagreed on a lot of different things, but what we knew is Jesus is coming back. And we were looking forward to that. Here, there, or in the air. Make sure today you're ready if it happens today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for its truthfulness. I pray, Father, that we've handled it accurately. That the comfort is here for those of us who believe that you've loved us, that Jesus died for us, that through his resurrection he paid the penalty for our sins, and that because he lives, we will too, by grace, through faith in Christ. And there's comfort. Knowing that you have a plan for getting us all back together again. What a day, what a joy that will be. But Father, there is also the challenge. Not a one of us must leave here thinking we have the rest of the day, we have tomorrow, we have the week, to consider these things and make a choice. Maybe we do. But maybe not. Today is our opportunity. Today may be our last opportunity to be sure. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.